Hello and welcome to another episode of Hurwitz's House of Horror. I'm your host, Steve Hurwitz, and this is the podcast where we sometimes talk about horror movies. I'm kidding. We love talking about horror movies here. Last time we went in depth on some horror video games, and this time, well, we'll see where the road takes us. I want to welcome back my co-host Jefferson Miller. Hey, buddy, how are you doing?
Whoa, hi.
I feel like you haven't been on here in, what, 2 weeks?
It's been years.
It feels like it.
It's been 40 years.
Well, you still look great.
Thanks.
You have a nice head of hair. You're wrinkly. Maybe you are an old man. Oh, shit.
Yeah, you can see it now, right?
I can now when I'm just staring straight at you.
Yeah.
Like, as soon as you walked in the door, you were just like, don't fucking look at me.
Don't look at my old face.
And I was like, because you're my friend, I respect you. Yeah, well, you went to Miami, is that correct?
That's right. Went to Miami, and that's, you know, a little closer to the equator, and the sun just really ages your skin.
Yeah, a little bit. I mean, on top of the fact that you faced the sun, you took the sun on with your fists, or I guess with your face, you also went to one of the most, like, notorious hotspots for serial killers.
Oh, every corner.
If Dexter has taught me anything, it's that that's where every fucking serial killer lives.
Oh, yeah.
How was it? Did you face any? Did you see Dexter himself?
Yeah, Dexter was there. He was cool.
Mm-hmm.
I was like, aren't you? I thought you were in Canada or something like that. Isn't something? And he's like, we don't talk about that.
And he's also technically dead too, right?
I mean, apparently not. Yeah.
Or not. Who's to say?
Yeah, apparently not.
Wow, you're brave.
Yeah, a lot
man.
Of serial killers. The ice truck killer was just chilling. Mm-hmm. Chilling.
Oh, fuck you. There we go.
But yeah, it was cool.
I want everyone to know that the pod track that has the soundboard on it is very far out of my reach. So Jeff is in full control of that session. Yeah.
Get ready for way too many laugh tracks.
It's funny that you say that because.
Is it?
Have you listened? You haven't listened to this week's newest episode or last
Strays?
Week's, I guess, Strays. Yeah, have you?
I have not.
James brings up a funny point about you and that soundboard.
Uh-oh.
Yeah, it's all good things, but okay. It's funny you say that because, yeah, you are now in full control and I have nothing. I can do nothing about it.
Yeah, that's one. That's one side effect of us recording on days that episodes come out is I'm always one episode behind.
Mm-hmm.
So by the next episode, I will have listened to Strays.
And then the people who will be hearing that episode will have heard it 2 weeks ago.
Now my brain's just hurting.
I'm doing too much maths now.
Yeah, it's like Inception.
Well, I'm glad you made it back from Miami. Besides the heat, how was your trip? Was it good?
Yeah, it was cool. Cuban coffee. Mm-hmm. Tried for the first time. Amazing.
You know, in Cuba, they just call that coffee.
They actually call it a I forget what it's called. Cortito? Cortado? It's not that. It's something colada,
like a pina colada,
kind of, but not
pineapples.
Yeah. But it's like triple the caffeine of an espresso or something like that.
That sounds awesome.
If you order it, usually they give it to you in what looks like a little creamer, like those little disposable creamer cups, or they'll give it to you in like an espresso cup, and it's just like super sweet espresso, and it's the best thing ever.
I could use that, man. Like, I'm always going to like Starbucks and getting like quad shots of a flat white, and I'm like, this isn't
enough. You just
need
a Cuban coffee.
Yeah.
Yeah,
I don't want all this other crap.
We'll find one near here, and we'll just get those every podcast, and then we'll
go
be
to
like,
Cuba. Blah, 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 blah. Whoa,
you know,
will that be me?
Yeah, and that's not you talking fast. That's just the noise you're going to make.
That's horrifying.
Horrifying. Speaking of,
wow, what a transition!
You like that?
I did.
Horror Hour.
Mm.
Welcome to Horror Hour. What kind of horror news do you got brewing for us over there, Mr. Hurwitz?
I have a few things on the docket for today.
Okay.
So this was something I actually did mean to bring up on last week's episode because James has been catching up on the previous episodes. He's been watching the movies and he watched Megan and he actually really, really enjoyed that movie.
Oh, nice.
Like more than we did, I think is what he said.
Okay.
And well, I'm glad because with Strays, it was a movie that he sort of enjoyed. We both didn't really like it, but it was fun talking about it because, you know, it was more of his side of horror. I got to see into his.
I did. While I haven't heard the episode, I have heard his kind of reaction, and he seemed to think more like maybe I've made a mistake. So I'm curious to see how he represents that on the episode.
It's a lot of fun. But when I was talking to him like a few days before, he brought up that he went in and looked at all of the uncut scenes that were released on the Megan like unrated or uncut edition. And I meant to bring it up with him, but I completely forgot. So I'll bring it up with you. I don't plan on rewatching this movie. So I decided, well, we decided to sort of try and find some of the scenes.
Yeah, supercut.
Yeah. And we found a little bit of a supercut. They're cut short because it's on YouTube, but we found out a little bit more of some of the things we missed out on.
Mm-hmm.
Mostly it was cursing. There were a few F-bombs dropped here and there. And then there was the gore. So one of the first scenes that we saw, it was when the kid, Billy or Bobby or...
You know, one of those bully names.
Dumbo.
Yeah, it was Dumbo. That was his name.
Well, speaking of Dumbo, this boy gets his ears pulled and he looks kind of like Dumbo.
That's right.
Wow, look at these connections we're making.
And it actually showed it getting ripped off in this one.
Yeah, you could like see...
Like, it was actually more, I feel like... The scenes that we saw in the YouTube video felt more graphic because I saw the original scene. First. So I wasn't expecting. Mm-hmm. It's like I knew I was going in for gore, but my brain was like, and then it cuts here. And then it's like, and the ear just rips off. Like, yeah. Oh, God.
And there's a lot more blood that came out, too.
Yeah.
And that was, I think, my favorite death.
The kid getting hit by a car.
Yeah. Spoilers. I could be making that up. Who's to say? But I did like that they showed more of the of this kid getting messed up because, again, he was a bit of a dick.
Yeah, he was.
A bit of a Dumbo.
Bit of a Dumbo. And really quick, I know we're already deep in it, but yeah. Megan spoilers, because we're going to be talking about all the kills pretty much.
Yeah, I'll put that
for
in the show notes.
Like a minute or two.
You know, I keep honestly forgetting to mention that there are show notes and that there are time codes. Like, I've been putting them in for a while now, but I've never said, like, if you want to just skip to a certain point, you can find those in the show notes.
Yeah, especially apparently we just found out today, if you use Spotify, you can scroll down like on mobile.
Mm-hmm.
You can scroll down and like tap the different show notes and it'll take you to that point in the podcast. So if you're listening along and you're like, well, I don't want to hear the ending to, you know, scream. Yep. Like, I don't know why I just panicked right there. You can just hit the little time code and it skips boop right past that part.
Take you somewhere around it's in beautiful. The general area. Yeah, that was really cool. You showed me that. I was like, ah, who knew?
So if you're listening right now, just go ahead and hit the little time code right after Horror Hour or Megan or whatever, however we represent it. So
the second thing that we saw was the neighbor.
The power washer.
Yeah, we weren't sure exactly how she died. We kind of theorized maybe she was drowned to death or... like the chemicals were absorbed into her skin somehow because it showed her getting hit by the power washer and then a shot of like water or maybe sort of blood seeping onto the ground.
Yeah, I was like, is that just the color of the pesticide or is that blood or what's going on? Yeah, and apparently...
In the extended scene, we saw her face getting ripped off by the power washer.
Yeah. Yeah, that's a powerful power washer. I wonder if that's possible.
It did blow her back. So at least it's like, all right, it makes sense because we've already been shown that this is a very dangerous thing.
Yeah, gross.
I honestly do wish we could have seen more of that. I think that that scene would have been made better with that.
Agreed. I feel like just a little gore, because it's not over the top, really. It's just like a couple little gory elements that take the like tension up a little bit. It's like there's more stakes to everything.
Yeah. And like it was pretty gross. You saw her like,
yeah, it was
cheek
disgusting.
Fly up.
Yeah,
that was really cool. Yeah. I like that. Finally, the last scene, I believe, that was expanded upon,
the elevator scene.
Yeah. When David is running to try and get in the elevator, from what I was reading, remembering correctly, is David gets stabbed with like the huge knife. And in the version that we watched, the theatrical version, there wasn't any blood on the knife when it went through his body. And there was only like a little bit that stuck out. In the uncut version, it's longer and you see blood actually on the blade once it goes through David. And then after Megan pulls it out, there is blood on the actual blade. And then it was Kurt's death.
Yeah. Where it's like in the theatrical cut, she like takes his hand, which I actually kind of like better, honestly.
Mm-hmm.
She puts the blade in his hand and like brings it up to his neck to be like, look, I'm going to make it look like you killed yourself. And in this uncut version, she just like,
goes straight for the neck.
And just swipes his neck.
Yeah.
I think it was more gory, but it was more boring to me.
I liked it. I like seeing that kind of stuff.
It was just like to like, whatever. The other one felt more like story based. Like I'm staging your suicide. You know?
Interesting.
Like, ooh, yikes.
That's sort of the differences that we have in horror movies here. Mm-hmm. We're seeing that in a much smaller example. Because maybe just because I didn't enjoy that movie that much. It was fine, but the gore would have made it better for me. And you're like, you know what? No, the story bits actually this part, I think they did all right.
Yeah,
I think in general too, in that scene there was just more blood going everywhere. More
it
blood
definitely
in all
felt
of these.
And it could be wrong, I don't know, but it felt bloodier for sure.
Oh, absolutely.
Yeah.
And then there was also a scene when Megan is fighting with what is the main character's name?
Gabby? No.
Allison?
Mm. The girl from Girls?
The girl from Girls. When Megan is fighting the girl from Girls, she says that if the little girl comes in here, I'll rip your head off. She just throws in an F-bomb.
If she comes in this room, I'll tear your head right off your fucking neck, I swear to God.
Which I kind of liked a little bit better. Yeah, it was. It seemed a little bit more threatening in that manner.
A little more sinister.
Yeah, just because it's a little robot girl doing that. It's like, stop.
Yeah, ew.
Scary. Don't say that.
Yeah, like when she turns from like, I'm your friend, I'm a little proper girl, to being like vulgar. It's like, that does add an element of like it being scary.
Yeah.
Some extra scariness.
Spooky dooky.
Oh.
Moving on, I have some news that I read about concerning Beetlejuice 2. Now, did you know that they were making a Beetlejuice 2?
I did. I at least heard a lot of rumors about it.
Yeah, I think it's been in production for a while at this point. And there has been some talks about Jenna Ortega joining the Beetlejuice 2 cast now, along with Michael Keaton returning. Tim Burton is expected to return to direct this movie, and it would be reuniting Burton and Jenna Ortega from Wednesday. And I mean, I feel like Jenna Ortega is in that bubble right now where she is big and getter because A, Wednesday, from what I've heard, is really great. X, spectacular. Scream 5, loved. Scream 6 coming out next week. You know, she's the next thing in horror right now.
Oh, totally. She seems to be everywhere. Like, she just hosted SNL.
That's right.
It's everyone's loving her and stuff.
So apparently Jenna Ortega is said to be playing, or she would be playing, the role of Lydia's daughter, the character originally played by Winona Ryder in the original.
Oh.
There's no word on whether or not Winona Ryder would be returning as Lydia, but this is all still kind of also.
That'd be rad.
Rumor wise.
I hope she returns.
Me too. There is talk of production being eyed for late May or early June and shooting in London, but the budget has not yet been set. So there's still a back and forth about whether or not Jenna Ortega will be joining the scene. So I'm hoping she does, and I'm hoping for like a good Beetlejuice sequel.
Hell yeah, I think that'd be a great cast. Jenna Ortega, Winona Ryder, and Keaton.
Hell yeah. Michael Keaton is just, he's having his Keatonissance, as they call it.
I feel like he's just kind of circling back and hitting a bunch of his older roles.
Yeah, I mean good
Batman,
for him.
I guess, and Beetlejuice.
I think he is a very, I don't know if underrated is the right word, but I feel like he kind of disappeared off the map for a little while.
Mm-hmm.
The big thing I remember him coming back like into was Birdman.
Yeah, I think that was the beginning of his like comeback.
His Keatonissance.
Yeah.
As we're going to call it now.
Okay.
And he was great in that. And then he was in Robot Cop, the remake, which wasn't a great movie, but I think he's pretty good in that role.
Yeah.
He's the villain of it, but he is like, he doesn't see himself as the villain. He's portraying a person who thinks he's doing the right thing.
Same with him in Spider-Man.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. And then Spider-Man.
Where
he was
like doing the right thing or whatever.
He was the Birdman.
Very Billy Joel.
He was Billy Joel.
Yeah.
I love that issue of Spider-Man where Spider-Man fights Billy Joel and Billy Joel's like, sometimes you play me a melody. I'm not really sure where you go, Spider-Man.
I remember that too.
And then Spider-Man whips his piano and throws it at him.
Yeah, he's like, suck on this piano, man. Like it?
Oh, man, I really did. Yeah. And now Keaton is continuing his Keatonissance with Batman. He's returning in the Flash movie as Batman.
Hell yeah. I'm into it.
I mean, Keaton is kind of my Batman. And I didn't realize till maybe 10 or so years ago that nobody wanted Michael Keaton as Batman. And
this fucking guy, he's like a comedian or whatever. He's in like rom-coms, I think, up until that point.
He was
like
in Mr. Batman. Mom.
Yeah.
Do you remember the cover for that movie where it was like, whoa, first of all, the idea of a man being a mom.
Whoa, Mr. Mom.
Whoa, this is a hilarious concept.
Yeah.
I think the VHS cover was him like with a vacuum cleaner and he was holding a kid in one hand.
Jesus.
And like another hand was like cooking breakfast or something. But you know, this was pre-internet.
What if a man did lady stuff?
That is too funny. That is hilarious.
That's crazy.
Man, imagine a Mr. Mom 2 sequel.
Yeah.
I don't think that's funny.
We both just like, yep.
No, that's a great movie.
Yeah.
Look at Michael Keaton go. He's just a dad doing his jam.
Yeah. This one would be called
Mr. Mom 2 Still Mommin'.
Yep.
Mr. Mom
2.
That's it.
Yep. Good one. Good one, me.
I can't hit the laugh track. Thank you.
I got it for you.
Thanks, man. what was I saying about Keaton?
He's in The Flash.
Oh no, Beetlejuice. Well, just the whole fact that before we go back into horror, in a pre-internet world, do you remember hearing about there were all of these like physical letters sent in to WB or whoever made Batman of people being like, no, I don't want this man. Yeah. Being Batman.
Yeah.
That's bananas to me.
Yeah. Now it's just people bitching on the internet. Mm-hmm. Same thing happened with Heath Ledger being the Joker. I mean, everything.
Mm-hmm.
They're like, wait a second, that person doesn't look exactly like the way that one person drew that character. It's like, okay, oh my God.
This man's a mom.
That's why whenever they do fan casting, it's always like, you know who'd be a really good Poison Ivy? Emma Stone. It's like, because she has red hair, good one. Anyway.
Jesus. Are you all right, man?
Can you tell that I like wade around in the Twitter world of superhero nerds?
You seem really bitter all of a sudden.
Yeah.
I guess that should be
gotta shake it off.
A moment to move along then. Well, I guess, yeah, circling back into Beetlejuice, I can't wait to see Michael Keaton back. I think he's great, and same. I love Beetlejuice. It's a hilarious character. Mm-hmm. I never realized for the longest time that Beetlejuice was Batman. Yeah, I think Michael Keaton does a really good job like being two different characters.
Oh, totally.
I
mean, yeah, that's he's a great actor.
That's an actor, yeah. But I never realized that, and so I think he's more than ready to jump back in that role. He still has a wacky side.
Same.
One final bit of news on my part, Jeff. I ended up getting the Friday the 13th, the original Friday the 13th on Blu-ray 4K UHD.
Nice.
And I didn't really need it, but I just really wanted it. So I watched that the other night, and that movie, I stand by it. That's a great movie. The original Friday the 13th. So good.
The
movie
first one
that kicked off this podcast. I think it is a brilliant piece of work of horror movie magic.
Nice.
And it got me thinking like maybe once we, you know, cover all of the Friday the 13th, we should do an episode to kind of just like
a post-mortem
overview of all of them and sort of like maybe vaguely sum up. This is a conversation we could have off air, honestly.
But it's a good, you know, maybe people could chime in and be like, yeah, that does sound good. Or please don't.
Yeah.
Oh God, please.
I mean, the kills are great. And the one that I got, it has both the theatrical and uncut or unrated edition. So I watched the unrated because I don't think I've actually ever seen that one. And it's just like little moments where the deaths are extended and you see a little bit more of like blood and stuff. And I think it's really good. The kills are great. And I am excited.
Nice.
Yeah, dude.
I'd be into that. I like that idea.
Yeah. Just like a...
just briefly sum up like 40 movies.
And see maybe if some of our thoughts have changed on them.
Yeah.
Technically, there's only like 12 or something, but still. So we'll maybe circle around to that. But I just need to bring up the fact that Friday the 13th is a great movie. And it has me honestly wanting to revisit number two because I think I was a little hard on number two.
Is that the one that I was like, I liked this one better? And you're like, huh, because I hated it.
No,
I'm thinking of something else.
Number one, I think, has been your number one out of all of these Friday the 13th so far. Okay. Yeah, because it was that original Camp Counselor.
The worst one so far has been the Michael Bay.
Oh, yeah. No, without a doubt.
Easily.
I still enjoy it, though, for what it is.
How many copies of Friday the 13th do you own?
Which one?
The first one.
Three? That's only three, I think.
Only three.
VHS, the DVD. Blu-ray. I don't think I have Blu-ray. I don't think I have DVD.
Blu-ray and then
streaming.
4K.
Yeah.
Oh.
Yeah. Digital. Cool. That's my horror hour bit, man. How about you? I usually ask you first. I know you
usually we do Buffy.
Yeah, we have Jeff's famous Buffy Bonanza but, I mean, corner basement.
Watching,
the fuck? Do you hear that?
Is that my phone's not ringing?
I don't know. My phone is a James Bond theme. Maybe it's... Oh. This is unusual. Do you mind if I take this call real quick, Jeff?
Yeah.
All right. All right. I'm going to answer the phone now. Hello?
Your name wouldn't be Steve, would it?
Hey, yeah. Yeah, actually it is.
Do you like scary movies?
Dude, are you kidding me? I love scary movies. You're actually on a podcast right now. I'm talking about scary movies.
What's your favorite scary movie?
Well, that's a bit of a loaded question, my friend. I mean, like, what kind of horror are we talking? Are we talking about like slashers? Are we talking about like elevated horror? Are we talking about, you know, like those mindfuck movies? What genre are we kind of looking at right now?
We're going to play a game.
You
bitch.
Whoa, man.
What's your favorite scary movie?
Well, Okay.
Who is the killer in Friday the 13th?
Oh, man. Wait, we talking about the original?
Wrong. No. I'm at your back door.
I don't have a back door. I live in an apartment. What? Oh, ow, ow. Ooh. Ouch.
Take that.
What's happening? Stop calling me a bitch, man. It's really rude. Wait, aren't you on the phone? How are you stabbing me?
Oh, through the phone, you bitch.
You sound a lot like Freddy Krueger. He calls people bitches all the time. Ow, stop it. Well, what's your favorite house? What's your favorite scary movie?
My favorite movie is, my favorite scary movie is Scream.
Do you like when I turn this around on you? How does that feel, huh?
No, I don't like it.
Do you like a microphone in your face?
No.
What's your name?
I don't want to talk about it.
No, ow, stop it. Oh, Jesus Christ. Oh my God. All right. This week we're talking about Scream from 1996, directed by Wes Craven.
Someone is playing a deadly game.
It all began with a scream over 911.
Someone who's seen one too many scary movies. Now he's taken his love of fear.
Hello?
Hello, Sydney.
One step too far.
Do you like scary movies?
What's the point? They're all the same. Some stupid killer stalking some big-breasted girl who can't act, who's always running up the stairs when she should be going out the front door. It's insulting.
There are certain rules that one must abide by in order to successfully survive a scary movie.
Okay, well, Steve, you look busy, so I'm going to go ahead. Oh, you're getting blood everywhere. I'm going to talk about I'm going to do the Jeff summary. So like he said, we're talking about Scream. This movie, it's good. It's complicated. It's about like a bunch of teenagers. They're like really into scary movies. Yeah. And there's like a killer. He dresses kind of like, his name is Ghostface, but he dresses in like a black robe and a spooky face. And he kills a bunch of them. I think that's pretty much it.
Yeah, man.
You okay, buddy?
I feel a little woozy. Feeling like
you got stabbed like 40 times.
A little bit by a man in a phone. Yeah, that was weird.
Yeah. How did that even, I don't even get how that worked. But I don't know if you heard, I just took care of the Jeff summary while you were on the ground. Just woozy. Wrestling around with that knife phone.
Yeah, weird.
Yeah. So.
Well, I guess let's get into this movie.
Yeah.
First of all, Jeff, you are a big fan of this movie, correct?
I'm a big fan of this movie. This is I try to make a point to watch this movie every Halloween.
Yeah. I think the last time I actually watched this movie was with you about like 6-7 years ago when we were living in Long Beach. I remember Diana and James came over for, I guess, the weekend, and we carved pumpkins and we had a Scream marathon.
Yeah.
And I believe that's the last time I saw this movie.
Was that the year that I dressed up?
Yeah.
Or was it a different year? That was that year.
It had to have been.
Oh, right. Because we're only down there for one Halloween.
You were in Long Beach, yeah.
Yeah, I dressed up as Steve and not you. I didn't dress up as like you. I dressed up as Steve from the movie, famously in the very beginning, which we're about to talk about.
Our movie starts off with Drew Barrymore. She plays the character Casey. She's at home. I'm assuming it's just a typical night. And she gets a phone call. And it's a very strange voice talking to her. And I like that this voice has become just like synonymous with this series. Mm-hmm. Whenever I hear it, I'm like, oh, this is Ghostface.
Me too. Especially, I think this is the only scene in the movie where it's a little bit gentler, because it's kind of, you know, as if you hadn't seen this series before. It's just someone on the phone. It's just a guy on the phone. It's not supposed to be like, hey, you know, it's like, oh, hey, what's your favorite scary movie? And it's kind of like, ooh.
And that's what this voice on the phone keeps asking her. It's starts off, like you said, sort of gentle, like, hey, what's your favorite scary movie? What are you doing? What's your name?
Yeah, like, hey, maybe we could date. And it's kind of like they're flirty with each other.
You like scary movies?
Uh-huh.
What's your favorite scary movie?
It starts to get, like, progressively more mean and vicious. Mm-hmm. And she hangs up a few times and he keeps calling back. And it gets to a point where she's starting to get a little worried because he's telling her, like, if you hang up the phone, I'm going to fucking kill you.
Yeah, and like, you look nice or whatever. I forget what he says, but it's like clearly he's looking at her.
Yeah, I think he says, I want to know who I'm talking to.
Oh, yeah, who I'm looking at.
That's what it is.
And she's like, what did you say? And he goes, I want to know who I'm talking to.
Mm-hmm.
And she's like, that's not what you said. It's like, ugh, spooky.
And then he says, like, do you have a boyfriend? You do. Is he the one that's tied up outside by the pool? And she turns on the light and we have Steve, her boyfriend, strapped to a chair.
Mm-hmm.
He's
with duct tape over his mouth, got his Letterman jacket on.
Which is, again, your costume. You did spectacular. Mm-hmm. I think the picture that we took of you, it's like you duct taped to a chair and you had duct tape wrapped around your legs and your arms. That was such a good costume.
Favorite Halloween costume, probably.
You put a lot of effort into that.
Yeah.
So the killer starts asking her a lot of questions. This whole movie is very meta. It's very taking a look at incorporating so many other horror movies and tropes and things that I never really appreciated until watching this movie this time around.
Yeah, tons of little things. And like you said, in this world, all the horror movies exist. So they talk about, you know, they reference Hellraiser, Friday the 13th.
In this, the killer starts off asking her, who is the killer in Halloween? Michael Myers. Mm-hmm. And then he actually trips her up on question number two, because if she doesn't answer these questions correctly, Steve is going to die. And he asks her, who's the killer in Friday the 13th? And she's like, oh, I got this. It's fucking Jason. And the killer kind of gets her on a technicality because he never specified which movie. You would assume he's talking about the whole series. But no, he's talking about the original Friday the 13th, in which Pamela Voorhees is the killer. She gets the question wrong. And we have kill number one.
Boom.
Steve gets his stomach gets cut open, right?
Yeah, he gets like gutted.
We don't really
see some innards, but it's like from kind of hard to tell. Yeah.
And now Ghostface, I think, manages to get into the house. He's chasing down Drew Barrymore. She gets outside at a certain point too. And I think you said to me, I would just run.
Especially because she sees like they're on like a property. So I get it. He even said like, if you call the police, they wouldn't get here in time because you're out in the middle of nowhere. But she sees a car kind of pulling up the road. And at that point, I'd be like, I would sprint towards that car.
Because
you
see
Ghostface in the house kind of running around. And it's like, okay, well, I got a head start on you then. But she's clearly like, I get it. She's like kind of paralyzed in fear. And if she thinks if she walks in front of the window, he's going to come right at her. Because she kind of hides there for a second and then tries to crawl under the window, which I'm like, you're just losing time. What are you doing?
Mm-hmm.
And then
he does manage to like grab her head and like smash it into the window.
Mm-hmm.
And then she starts to run. And we have a scene which I think kind of sums up Ghostface in this one scene. He jumps straight through the window and he like just rolls in the grass. We see that we're not dealing with like a typical killer. We're dealing with like a person. And we see that throughout this entire movie when he's doing kills or like he's being confronted by other people who are fighting back. It's not like a Jason or a Michael. It's not this robotic like, force.
Nothing you can do can stop me, like through walls and shit. He's like tripping and sliding around on grass and like gets like hit a by
bottle in the dick or whatever.
Yeah, exactly. And so I was like, oh God.
Like you see him jump out this window and do a roll and he kind of just stays there for a second because he's like, I mean, you're a person who just jumped through a window.
And he's like, holy shit.
And she starts to run, but he gets his hands on her and he stabs her one time and then he gets her under the ground and starts choking her. And this is a scene that you looked at me and you're like, this is brutal.
Yeah. Maybe the most brutal scene in the movie, in my opinion.
I think you kind of might be right. Cause I don't remember a lot of this movie. I have seen it.
Cause then he stabs her in the neck.
Doesn't he just choke her at first?
Mm-mm, I think he grabs her around the neck and is choking her.
Mm-hmm.
And then he stabs her through the throat. And so when she turns around to get up, her parents pull up in the car that she saw and they get out.
They're literally walking in the door.
Like 12 feet away.
Yeah. She's looking at them and she tries going like.
She's like crawling on the grass. Dad. Yeah. And so she can't say anything because she got like her voice box jacked up by a knife. It's like, oh, to be there. Like, it's like in a nightmare where you're like, they're right there. If I could only just like be loud enough that they could hear me, then maybe they'd scare him away or whatever it is. But no luck.
She gets stabbed a few more times and she's still alive too. And we see her body gets dragged away. Then we go inside of the house where her parents, like the house is a bit in chaos right now.
Yeah, she's left this popcorn going. Jiffy Pop is on fire.
Like there's just things knocked over, broken glass.
Mm-hmm.
And she still has the phone in her hands too. And they pick up the phone. And this is the bit that I was like, this
call
is
the police.
Fucked up. Yeah.
Yeah.
And they hear her like breathing into the phone. Like, you know, it's upsetting. And like the parents are like, oh God, she's dying.
And then they're on the phone when she gets fucking killed the rest of the way.
Her body gets dragged and hung into a tree and her parents leave and they see her body hanging there. And we have kill number two. Goodbye, Casey.
Maybe the most iconic in the movie, because I remember them saying originally they wanted Drew Barrymore for the lead role
because
she was like hot stuff at the time. I mean, she still is, whatever. But she, I think it was her idea, if I remember correctly, to be like, no, I don't want to be the main person. Like, I want to throw people off. Mm-hmm. Put me in the first scene instead of hiring just a girl, like an unknown, to be like the intro. Because everyone's going to assume that Drew Barrymore is going to last through the whole thing. And then they kill her off in the first like 6 minutes or whatever it is. So people are like, whoa, like who's going to live or die?
Yeah. I never realized that on the Scream poster, the one where it's just like the girl and her eyes and like her hand covering her mouth, like that's Drew Barrymore. Mm-hmm. I had no idea for the longest time.
So it's like marketed. I'm sure. I wonder what the trailer even looked like. I want to look back now.
Probably with her being prominent.
It's like marketed as like a Drew Barrymore movie and then she gets killed right away. That would be so like, if they were able to keep that a secret, that would be.
I mean, sick. I'm sure it was so much easier back then in 1996. Yeah.
No internet.
They had the
internet, but like
someone makes a call on the internet.
Yeah.
Or use the internet to make a police call.
Yeah, they do because they don't have their cellular phone. They use a weird chat window to make a phone call.
That's what I like about this time and the movie set in this time is that it's so like it's not easy to get like calls or help as easily as you are now. Does that make sense?
Oh, totally. Which it's one of those things where it's like technology in a lot of ways is kind of like. We're too dependent on it. Social media, blah, blah, blah. But it's also like, well, it says something that we're kind of like, man, horror movies are harder to make now because everyone's so connected. It'd be harder to just murder someone and get away with it.
It's just like, in general.
Well, that's a positive.
Yeah.
You know, not for movies, but.
In the 1800s, you could have killed so many people and like moved to the town right next door and been like, oh, I shaved my head. My name's John.
Crazy. All those people died.
Yeah. Huh. And then just.
Good thing DNA doesn't exist.
Yeah.
Or, you know, DNA testing.
Murdering these days. Not so easy.
Yeah. I've never murdered anyone. So, what's up? What were you going to say?
Oh. Okay. I thought you were going to do the knife stab.
Oh.
Cool.
Nice. I didn't know who you wanted.
That's all right. Well, we are now introduced to the main characters of this movie. We're introduced to Sydney and Billy. Sydney is, she's the main girl in this. She's had a bit of a rough life that we start to learn about. Billy is her boyfriend. He comes by and he says a line that I love.
When I was home watching television, the Exorcist was on. Got me thinking of you.
How sweet.
I miss that. Yeah, he's a charmer.
Yeah.
He's an interesting character through this whole thing. Sydney's great.
She is. She's great. And Billy compares the relationship to a... It used to be like an R-rated movie. Now it's a TV movie.
Mm-hmm.
And I feel like you learn a little bit about him.
Edited for TV.
Yeah, it's like, you're...
Yeah. Like, come on, have sex with me. Ugh. At least do some over-the-clothes stuff.
I have that in my notes. Don't worry. They will do over-the-clothes stuff, so it's okay. They also set up that Sydney's dad is leaving for the weekend. He's going out on some business meeting. So now we don't have any parents around, so murders can easily happen.
Mm-hmm. Which is interesting considering. So I think we know by this point her mom was murdered.
We learned that like very shortly after this.
I forget what parts, I've seen this so many times.
Yeah.
So it's the anniversary and he's just like fucking off on a business trip. Maybe that's why.
Maybe. I also want to point out we're just doing straight up spoilers. We're trying to avoid some things, but there is a bit that you mentioned here where they're playing the song Don't Fear the Reaper when Billy shows up. And well,
because we were like, that's a interesting choice for a song. Like, it's kind of like a very 90s vibe. It's like, and he's like, yeah, let's touch. And we're like, the vibe of the scene is so weird.
But I think that might have been. Like,
yeah. So we looked it up.
There's a lot of things that you were also pointing out where if you know who the killer is, it's kind of like out there. It's a little obvious.
Yeah. We're going to, like you said, we're going to assume you've watched this movie because, by the way. Definitely, if you haven't seen this movie, watch this movie before. It's a little late now, but if you haven't, even at this point, just pause the podcast. Make sure to come back.
Yes.
But just go watch the movie. It's really good. This is going to make way, way more sense.
This is one of those whodunit movies that I always love. And if I didn't know who the killer was, I'd be like enwrapped in this. Like, who is what? Who is
because
who?
Through the whole thing, they play it off. Most of the characters have motives.
Mm-hmm.
They're also kind of like, where were they at that time? Like, yeah, everybody. It's really interesting. But so from this point on, it's just all spoilers abound. Because, yeah, so the killers, I'm just going to say, Billy and
Stu.
So like you're saying, yeah, throughout the whole movie, there's little, I think anyway, intentional hints that they're the killers. Mm-hmm. Like things watching again, it's like, oh shit, that's them just out in the open.
It's like, you're bad at this.
Yeah, like you're clearly the killers. But, you know, hindsight, it's 2020.
Yeah.
But the little subtle things too, like you're saying, the Don't Fear the Reaper playing, and it's Billy being like, hey, I'm cool. Like, let's have sex. You don't need to worry about anything. And it's like, oh, Don't Fear the Reaper. I get it. Ha ha.
We are now at the school. It's the next day. The entire campus is just overrun with reporters. This is our first look at Gail Weathers, played by Courtney Cox, who has been just killing it, I think, in this series. Mm-hmm. She's in this newest one. I'm excited. I hope she lives, because we're in spoilers. For number 5, unfortunately, a character, a beloved character, does not make it through that.
Yeah.
But I think that kind of keeps in theme with the whole anybody can go.
Yeah.
And I like that.
Me too.
I like when horror movies subvert the expectations. That's what they need more of.
Mm-hmm. Because otherwise you're like, well, clearly these people are going to make it, so I'm not as tense.
There's a lot of movies I watch nowadays. I'm just like, well, if this character is in peril, it's like, well, they're not going to die. They're going to get out of it. And it loses a little something. Like, yeah. If I'm enjoying the movie enough, I won't care about it. It won't matter. But it's still, I like that sense of mystery. And will they, won't they?
Mm-hmm.
Get together at the end.
I'll be there for you.
Of which, we now also meet Deputy Dewey, who,
that's right,
yeah, is, I think, one of my favorite characters, played by David Arquette. He is fantastic in this movie and mm-hmm. all of the rest. This entire cast is stellar. I'll lead off with that. On top of meeting those two, we meet, I forgot, Henry Winkler is in this movie as the principal. We also are introduced to Sydney's friends. We have Tatum, played by Rose McGowan. We have Matthew Lillard playing Stu. We have Jamie Kennedy playing Randy. And that's kind of the main friend group. And of course, Billy, played by Skeet Ulrich. So they're all together discussing, oh man, can't believe all these crazy kills are happening. And this goes back to what we were just saying, how in this scene, Billy and Stu are kind of laughing about these murders. And you pointed out that Stu says something like, oh, you know, I'm not the killer. And Billy is just like, dude, no one said you were.
Yeah, he's like, shut the fuck. Like, his eyes are like, dude, don't blow this for us.
You brought up that was them, or that was Billy being like, shut the fuck up, Stu. But then I saw that as,
like, be sensitive.
As Billy, my
girlfriend.
Yeah, Sydney is upset on top of the fact that some things have happened in her past.
Right.
I was like, oh, he's just trying to be nice. And you're like, no, he's trying to cover himself.
Yeah, he's like, dude, don't, you're going to blow our cover, dude.
Yeah.
I was like, whoa, that's crazy, because I've always seen it the other way also.
Mm-hmm. Later that night, Sydney gets home from school, and then we do now learn about what happened to her mom. Her mom has not been present because her mom was raped and murdered almost a year to the day. There's a news report because it seems sort of weird that these kills are happening around the same time that this murder happened last year.
Especially because it doesn't seem like this kind of thing happens.
No. In the small town of Woodsboro. There's
that one murder, yeah, and then now more are happening.
Mm-hmm. Very coincidentally. Now this is the time when Sydney gets a phone call herself, and we have that same voice.
Do you like scary movies, Sydney?
And it's kind of funny because she thinks that it's her friend Randy. Because
he's like the movie guy. He's like obsessed. They all seem to be really into horror movies, but he's the one that's like works at a video store. So everyone's always like, Randy, fuck, dude, come on.
This fucking horror movie nerd. He starts getting very aggressive with her, and she's like, oh shit. And he ends up finding his way into the house and attacking her. And he chases her about, and he almost gets her, right? He gets her like down onto the ground, but she mm-hmm. kicks him off, and she manages to run upstairs. And this is more of showing that this is a killer who is not necessarily doing great, because she closes the door like on his hand, and you just see his arm waving about with a knife.
God,
and just
looks goofy. Yeah. I also like, speaking of her running up the stairs, right before that, when she's on the phone, she's like, or earlier in the movie or something, I forget. Oh yeah, when she's on the phone, they're like, do you like scary movies? And she's like, no, it's always like some big chested woman running upstairs for no reason when she should just be like running outside and like getting help. And then she, like, 2 minutes later, she runs upstairs. That's all.
This is the scene where we also now see her using the internet because she can't use a phone to call the police. And she just like types in 911. And it's just like, hello, this is the police. How can we help you? Send help.
I was like, what the hell? Is that a thing you could do? Apparently.
The internet, man. What a crazy place.
Yeah.
Not like these days.
Not like these days. Now you'd like, when she fell to the ground, her phone would have been like, I've detected a fall. Should I get help? And then the cops are just on the way.
They're like, we're already in the house, actually.
Yeah. Hello?
Oh, God. Billy climbs in the window once again. And she's like, oh, thank God you're here. Thank God. He's like, I heard screaming. That's why I came in the window.
Especially the way I love the way he always shows up. It's like, like, it's like a jump scare. He always whips from around the corner. It's like, dude, you're not helping anything. Like,
did I say that that's how he entered the first time when we met his character? I don't know if I did. He's just climbing in the window.
Yeah.
So they're hugging. And then at this moment, he drops a cell phone.
Cell phone falls out of his pocket. Also, his boots. He has these black boots.
Didn't even pick up on that.
Which is an ongoing subtle. I think they play more into it in the later movies, but mm-hmm. it's multiple characters in the movie wear somewhat like common black boots. But it's like, okay, so the killer has the same boots. So it's mm-hmm. like, okay, they could be the killer because they don't have time to, like I've mentioned this before.
Yeah.
They don't have time to change these like laced up boots. So it's like, look down and the cell phone drops and he's wearing black boots and it's like,
interesting. You're the killer. And then do you think that maybe they've changed it up in the later movies now where it's like, well, they're not wearing boots anymore because that's going to throw you.
Possibly.
Make you think. Interesting. Maybe. We'll have to look for that in Scream 6.
Keep our eyes peeled.
You also brought up a really good point that it was funny how having a cell phone, especially in that time, it was like, why do you have that?
Yeah, wait, you have the ability to call me from outside? It was like, well, now, yeah, it would be like, I dropped my cell phone. It's like, oh, here you go.
Oh, yeah. Oh, is it broken? No.
Yeah, wait, is that mine? No, it's yours. Oh, okay.
I have the 14. You have the 14 Pro.
Yeah, yeah.
Oh, sorry.
This time it would have had to been like the cell phone falls and on the screen it says like call ended or something. And it's like, but
it's like a picture
about that.
Like the ghost face with like a head or whatever stabbing it.
I had fun calling you earlier.
So Sydney is very suspicious of this phone that Billy's dropped and she immediately just like, all right, I guess you're the killer because yeah, you would need that to call.
Right. And also he's like there.
I guess that's true.
Like, hey, remember that killer who just left? Don't worry about him. I'm here. Uh-oh, my cell phone.
And he's like, wait a second. It's not what it looks like. And she just sprints down the stairs. And in a bit of a funny scene that I liked, she opens the front door and it's just the ghost face mask and it's Dewey holding it.
Yeah.
And he's just like, ah!
Yeah, she screams and scares him.
Yeah. I guess he found it outside. And then the cops immediately run in and they arrest Billy and take him off to jail.
Yeah. And the whole time he's like, I forget her name in the movie, but
who?
The main character.
Oh, Sydney?
Yeah. Oh, that's right. He's like, Sydney! No, Sydney! Wait, Sydney!
Even as he's being driven off here.
Yeah.
Sydney!
It's like, dude, what are you hoping to accomplish here?
Her friend Tatum was supposed to meet up with her, but she got there a little late, and that's why she didn't really have any help.
Yeah, so she shows up.
She accompanies Sydney down to the police station, and Dewey is the one kind of taking care of Sydney while she's there, like, hey, we're trying to get a hold of your father, but apparently we can't. He does not seem to have checked into this Hilton that he was supposed to. The information mm-hmm. that he left you is not working. First sign right there. Something's up. Then we have Billy being asked questions by the cop, like, hey, why do you have the cell phone? Billy's like, well, everybody has cell phones. I don't know how
you
true
mean
that
not
is.
Dewey.
Didn't I say Billy?
No, you said Dewey.
Oh,
I think maybe you said Billy.
Yeah, maybe.
Oh, my bad.
But yeah, Billy's just like, everybody has cell phones now, which I don't know how true that is, but I mean, I'm sure it's at that point where they're becoming more common.
Gail has one of those big brick ones. Yeah. So it's at that point, I feel like it's like 2 out of 5 teenagers probably have a cell phone.
Even the phone that Drew Barrymore was holding, the house phone, was. I was like, that thing is huge.
Like, damn, these phones are massive.
To clock somebody with that shit.
Yeah.
So the Billy's dad is there and he's just like, yeah, my son didn't kill anybody. But he's like, I didn't kill anybody. And the cop is like, we'll see. We're checking phone records. We can pull those and we'll see where you were. And so Sydney ends up going back to Tatum's house with Tatum, who is also Dewey's sister. I'd never put those two things together until mm-hmm. watching it this time. I was like, how did I not realize that? But I mean, I must have known because they make it like they say it a bunch like, hey, mom said you have to respect me when I'm wearing the
uniform. Badge.
Yeah.
I'm a man of the law. I also like how I feel like they, again, keeping in the whodunit aspect, she shows up late.
Yeah. True.
And it's like, oh, so she could have been. She's like, oh, sorry, I was late.
I got held up or something.
Yeah. And it's like, okay, convenient.
Something you pointed out before we switch scenes is that on Dewey's computer, there's like a hat that has boobs on it.
Yeah.
And what does it say?
It says boob inspector, I think. Just like, what?
I was asking you a few questions when this movie was going on. I was like, how old are some of these characters? Because they're clearly a bit older than high school people. Right. And I was wondering like how old Dewey is, because I don't know if people technically respect him too much, because he seems like a young kid on the force.
Yeah, and the way he acts is very like childish and
a little bit.
Gale Weatherstone at one point is like, "You've got the face of a 12-year-old in a weird like
that was a little strange
flirty way, which was weird.
Yeah,
she's like, "Except for your torso, which is like 12-year-old manly boy, or something like that."
Yeah,
yeah. Oof. But yeah, so the ages are kind of like we were trying to figure it out.
But yeah, I feel like not exactly a lot of people respect Dewey too much at the moment, but I think he gets that respect later on.
He's a young deputy.
Yeah. Deputy Dewey.
That's right.
Sydney goes back with Tatum and Dewey to their house, and she ends up getting another phone call, and it's from the killer again. And she's like, "What do you want? Ah, go away." And this sort of helped prove that she misidentified Billy. She kind of, what does Ghostface say? "You fingered the wrong guy."
"Looks like you fingered the wrong guy again."
Yeah.
Just like
Cotton, I think, like was his name.
Yeah, it was the guy who allegedly killed her mom.
I mean, I guess we'll just jump right into that. It's the next day and Gale confronts Sydney like, "Oh, you know, I'm so glad you're okay. So glad you survived." And apparently there was a man who was arrested for Sydney's mother's murder.
Mm-hmm.
And it was this guy, Cotton, who I didn't realize was played by Sabretooth.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And he comes back.
I didn't realize. I think I sort of remember that because it seems weird now. I guess he wasn't that big of an actor then.
But that he's literally in like
just for like a quick scene.
One scene.
I was like,
yeah,
why would
like
you get
2 seconds.
Him? But I mean, I guess you're still trying to make your way into Hollywood. I'm just used to him being a face now. Mm-hmm. What's his name?
I don't know. His name is and then just
Leave Schreiber.
There you go.
I just edited that in.
Yeah, you just edited that in. Yep. That sounded really natural.
Can't even tell.
Yeah.
Leave Schreiber.
Leave Schreiber alone. Anyway. yeah, so she's like,
well, Gale
we
keeps
find
saying
out that Gale
things.
Wrote a book and she's like has all these theories about how
Sabretooth
was framed
and that Sydney got the wrong guy and he's on death row now.
Yeah. And that the theory is that Sydney's mom just was kind of sleeping around and having affairs on her dad. So Sydney's like, "That didn't happen. My mom's a saint."
It was something about people knew or it was found out that Cotton and her mom were having an affair.
Right.
And then Cotton was found with like his jacket covered in a bunch of her blood.
Yeah, I mean, it made sense, you know.
He doesn't remember anything. It was something like that, so he couldn't really defend himself.
Right.
Yeah. But Gale is standing by that he is innocent.
Yeah.
And there's a scene right before Sydney leaves the police station where she kind of confronts Gale again, and then she just punches her straight in the face. And I was like, oh, that was awesome.
Clocked her.
Yeah, it's just like, you know, reporters, I get you're doing your job, but also fuck off sometimes.
Yeah, you know, respect some boundaries, maybe.
Be nice.
Because she's like, when's that book coming out? She's like, in the spring or whatever. And that's when she gets punched.
Sydney ends up running into Billy at school too. He's gotten out of jail. And I think this is the scene where he tells her like, "Your mom died like a year ago. Get over it."
Yeah, he's like, "Come on. Like, why aren't we having sex yet? Like, chill. Your mom's been dead. Like, my mom left my dad. I got over it." And she's like, "Dude, your mom left. My
like,
mom
she's
was
still alive.
Murdered. Like less than a year ago.
Almost a year to the day."
Yeah. And he's like, "But I'm horny." It's like, okay, cool.
And then she does a fun little runaway from him.
Yeah, she says something cool. I'm like, damn, got him. I forget what she says, but it's like,
it might have been like, "Well, your mom's still here" or something.
Yeah. Like, "Call me when your mom gets murdered." That's not what she said. But she says something, and then I'm like, damn, nice. And then she turns around and does a little like and like runs off. I'm like, well,
her
you're just
like
totally undermined
too.
Your sweet little comeback there.
It was hella funny.
Like, E-me-me-me-me. And she runs into the bathroom.
There are like these two guys also running around the school who are wearing ghost face masks. And, you know, it's upsetting Sydney, but people are just kind of talking shit about her. We go
also
to,
like the just the school's reaction is so weird, like which I like
a killer about
because the. I wouldn't even necessarily call it super realistic, but I like how it frames the world where everyone's like, whatever. Whoa, the fucking principal was gutted. That's crazy. Well, that's we'll get to that.
Mm-hmm.
But someone was fucking like gutted like and
students.
Strung up somewhere. That's crazy. Let's go see.
Yeah.
Like, let's go drive over there. It's like, damn, that's insane. They're all just treating it like
no one's taking it really seriously because it hasn't like affected them personally. Right. Although we do sort of see the people who knew Casey. I think that was Drew Barrymore's character's name. Because I think she sort of knew some of them. And we see how they react to it. And it's right. a little bit different because they're like, well, yeah, we sort of knew her. And, mm-hmm. sucks.
And I think it's kind of a little bit of like a, you know, young kids desensitized to violence, you know, a little bit of that going on.
I think that actually absolutely plays in this entire mm-hmm. movie.
Yeah, because they're talking about movies and yeah.
Yeah. We go to Henry Winkler and he has these two kids in the office who are running around with the ghost face masks on.
We get a good little window into this principal's character, which, again, every character is so, I love the way they did every character.
Uh-huh.
It's not just like, hey, guys, don't do that. He's like, dude, you're weird just in your own. You only have like two scenes and we know so much about your character just based off that.
Like, I wouldn't have brought this scene up if it wasn't for the fact that mm-hmm. they make this principal character. He like pulls out these pair of scissors and he's talking to these kids. He's like, well, you're expelled and, you know, you're desensitized. And how would you like it if I gutted you like this? And he like puts the scissors like up to a kid's like, chest. Whoosh,
and it's making these like, shing, shing. He's like, what? Expelled? That's not fair. He's like, no, you know what wouldn't be fair is if I gutted you and yeah. strung you up in the front of the school. We're like, whoa.
My note just says, is Henry Winkler a secret murderer?
Is he okay?
Because I was like, damn, that's insane.
And again, I feel like maybe it was a little bit of a, huh, is the principal
uh-huh.
the killer? Because he's like, I should gut you. You know, it's like, oh, uh-oh. And it seems like they're at least giving you a little, like, hint at most of the characters, like, is it this person?
They feed you just enough yeah. to make you wonder.
You'd be like, okay, I guess it could be. This dude seems kind of violent, honestly, mm-hmm. like under the surface.
Then
we see him like put the mask on.
Yeah. Well, around the same time too, like Sydney gets attacked by a ghost face in the bathroom mm-hmm. after kids are talking shit about her. And she once again just books it out of there. She does a sick slide, but I didn't Yeah, when she leaves, she just runs by a bunch of people, but she doesn't say anything.
Yeah, you mentioned that. It's like Ghostface is in the girl's bathroom.
You have him, I'm sure.
She's just like, and like runs down the stairs and there's people in the hallways.
Yeah. And I was just like, what are you doing?
Yeah, like grab somebody.
Would have been a simple.
And be like, he's in there. Make sure he doesn't leave. Get as many people over here as possible. Let's get the police. It's just a dude in the bathroom.
And even if people didn't believe you, I bet they'd be like, oh, you know, I'll go in there and you'll see there's no one in there. And then they get stabbed. It's like, oh, there he is.
Yeah, there he is. Got him.
Maybe she does talk to somebody, or maybe it's just the town that makes its decision to close down the school.
I think she probably tells the principal or whatever.
Okay. So then that is also probably what affects. There's a town curfew now mm-hmm. as well. Okay. So yeah, the school gets shut down. There's a curfew. And everyone, well, Stu decides to throw a huge party.
As they're leaving school, once it gets shut down and like they're talking about the curfew and being like, hey, you should go to the party. Everyone's kind of like, oh, thanks, Sid. Like, that's sick. You got the school shut down.
Everyone
like, hell
thank
yeah.
this girl.
Yeah.
And she's just like, fucking hell.
She's like, wow, cool. And they're like, come on, might be a good idea. Like, lighten up or whatever. And it's like, she was just, someone tried to kill her like three times already. It's like, guys, what the fuck? It really does feel like she's kind of like the straight man and everyone else is just like, whoa, like,
I mean, that's a really good impression of Stu, honestly.
Yeah. Yeah.
I said this to you at the end of the movie, but I'm just going to say it now. I hated Stu. Like, I don't like Stu's character, but I do at the same time where I mm-hmm. think this character is perfect for this movie. And I'm like,
he's so obnoxious, but obnoxious, in the best way.
Yes. That's the word I was looking for.
Yeah.
Matthew Lillard is brilliant in this movie.
I think so, too.
So now we go back to the principal. He's like wearing the ghost face mask and it's one
just
of those
staring
lead-ins.
Himself in the mirror.
Yeah. And there's these knocks at the door and he gets lured out into the hallway. And we get a cool, fun little director cameo here. The janitor is played by Wes Craven and he's wearing like a Freddy shirt and all that.
Oh, right, right, right.
He's got the long hair. And I was like, yeah.
What'd you call me?
Not your friend.
Eventually, the principal gets led back into his office and Ghostface is there and we have kill number 3. Principal Himbry? I can't read my writing. Henry Winkler gets gutted. We don't really see it, do we?
I was trying to remember. I don't think so. I think it might just be like a sound and like, oh, or something.
Yeah.
And then it gets referenced later.
We go to the video store where Randy works and he's talking with Stu. Billy is also there and Stu just keeps bringing up like, oh, all these horror movies. And it really makes you start to think about that whole, like, this movie is taking a look at itself and other horror mm-hmm. movies in a referential way. Because he's bringing up how if the police were to just follow these plots, you would know it was this person. And I think
he's like,
wrote
just
down,
watch Prom Night one time and you would get what the fuck's going on.
He says the line,
there's a formula to it. A very simple formula. Everybody's a suspect.
And that line comes up through, I'm pretty sure, throughout the series. But I specifically remember it in number 5 because I think that's the last one that I watched. But they reference Randy a whole bunch in that movie too, mm-hmm. which I really liked.
And he's like, why is Billy hanging out in the horror section?
Like that's the worst place to be. Yeah. Everyone knows it's him. It's very much sort of trying to lean to that.
Mm-hmm.
Do you think they do a good job in trying to make you think it's Billy without it being Billy?
Maybe I'm giving him too much credit, but I think they're trying to be like obvious about it. Where they're like, it's Billy. So you're like, okay, so it's not Billy because they're trying to push it too hard. They're trying to misdirect us. It's going to be someone else. And then it's fucking Billy. So it's like a double, they're like double agents. You know, they're like, they're by like pushing Billy too hard.
Mm-hmm.
We can misdirect them in that way instead of, you know.
It's kind of funny. I feel like Billy, like Randy hangs out in that friend group with Billy and Stu, but I feel like they're mean to him.
Totally.
He's just like that.
Well, and he's also kind of like off.
Randy?
Yeah.
He's just a bit of a weird...
He's just a weird goose, as you might say.
Mm-hmm. But I don't know. Maybe I just identify with him as in horror movies and his love for him. Totally. Like, this dude's rad.
Yeah,
but he's a bit of a weird
guy.
He's
one of my favorite. Like, of the people in the group, I'm like, yeah, I'm with Randy on this, on all these points, pretty much.
So, Sydney is being kind of like safeguarded by Dewey. She's traveling with Dewey and Tatum right before the curfew. They're going to get beer and all this. And I love that Dewey's just kind of on board. He's a cop, but he ends up like... showing up to the party later. But we do see shots of like Ghostface following him around in the convenience store.
I don't think I noticed that.
A reflection of him in the glass. Oh, I think he might have been like fiddling around with your coffee drink.
Yeah.
He kept spilling.
Oh, that's right.
Yeah, I don't remember that. And I was like, oh, that's kind of cool because it made me think I'm going to keep talking about Scream 6. The trailers were there in a convenience store.
Mm-hmm.
I was like, that's neat.
Yeah, a little throwback maybe.
And there's a great scene where Dewey is talking to the captain and they're talking about how they have pulled up the phone records now. And that the phone calls came from Sydney's dad's phone. And Dewey makes a little comment about how, well, you know, could we get a trace on them? Do you think they could have been cloned? And the cop is just like, I don't know. You know, we still can't find her dad. So we'll see what's going on. You keep an eye on Sydney.
And the whole time he's like, he's just super stressed out because all the kills. Yeah. So the captain's like smoking a cigarette and Dewey has an ice cream cone. And every time the captain like. Takes a drag of a cigarette. Dewey licks his ice cream cone. So good.
I like when Dewey shows up too. He's just like licking at the captain. Just like looks at him like, so what have you been doing?
He was like, oh, just hanging out with Sydney.
And then the captain throws the cigarette on the ground. And I was just so hoping that Dewey would have thrown his ice cream cone on the ground too.
Yeah, me too.
I don't know. I think it would have fit with the movie. It would have been hella funny.
Yeah. And then like, David Arquette, right? Is his name?
Mm-hmm.
Just his physical humor or whatever. It's so subtle, but it's so good in the whole movie. Like when he's walking away and he's putting his sunglasses on, it like catches his hat. He kind of like fiddles with it.
Yeah.
It's like he's just kind of clumsy and likable.
He's just doing his best.
He's one of my favorite characters.
Mine too. Aw.
Yeah.
It is now party time.
Party time. Here's a little, I'll slip this trivia in here.
Slide it.
So starting at this point, what is called the party scene, mm-hmm. it's like essentially 40 minutes of the movie. It's the whole second half of the movie.
Yeah, I mean, this pretty much like takes us into the end.
It took them, I think it was 21 days to film.
That's almost a month.
What they're probably referring to is the nighttime. As soon as it gets dark, because the party starts, I think it's still kind of daylight outside.
Sure.
But once it's dark, 21 days to film that. It was called scene 118.
Mm-hmm.
And apparently they had to film it like from sunset to sunrise. So they had to film just through the middle of the night for a whole month.
Damn.
And so the crew, when they wrapped on that scene, they had t-shirts made that said, I survived scene 118. Something like that. So good. I want one.
That's awesome.
Yeah.
I didn't really think about how just the entire second half is just there. And
it's all at night.
It's all at night, and then you just don't really get a change of scenery. You're just going to mm-hmm. be in that house for this entire time as opposed to the earlier shots. Yeah.
Because it felt like as we were watching, I'm like, damn, this is a great third act.
Mm-hmm.
It feels so eventful and so dramatic, and it's all just at a house.
Yeah, it was a great ramp up. I thought there was a lot of the mystery that was really good leading up to it, and then it's just like, well, now we're off.
Mm-hmm.
The horses are racing.
The horses are going fast.
Yeah.
That's a horse.
It's a pretty good horse.
Thanks. Nay. Anyway, what were you going to say?
More like yay, because it's party time. Gail shows up for some reason. I guess she's sort of following Sydney throughout all of this.
Yeah, because she's like,
oh, yeah. Well,
I want to fucking get the story on this one.
I also kind of glazed over the scene where her and Dewey have a little bit of that flirtatious
talk.
And that sort of establishes them being into each other. Mm-hmm. And Dewey's like, yeah, maybe I'll see you around. And
it's, which is funny because in real life, they were.
They were. Yeah. Did they meet on
I think
screen?
So. I was going to ask you that. I think they met here and then they got married.
They were married for a while. Good for them.
Yeah.
So she decides to accompany Dewey to this party because, again, Stu, Sydney, Tatum, even Billy shows up at a certain point. Randy, they're all there. Mm-hmm. And I like when Dewey first walks in because, you know, he's a cop. So and he like walks up to this dude with a beer. He's like, hey, that's underage drinking. And he like takes the beer bottle away. He's like, no, I'm just kidding.
Here he's like, yeah, I'm just kidding, man. Just don't drive anywhere.
Yeah. Yeah. I was like, that's hella funny.
Yeah.
And it just sort of weirded me out, too. I was just like, why is a, I guess I looked up Gail Weathers' age. She plays a 32-year-old. Why is a 32-year-old and a 25-year-old cop going to this
underage
high school
party and being like, hey, what's up, kids?
But I guess it's because
his younger sister is there.
True. And he is looking after Sydney. All yeah. right. I didn't think about that.
But it's still like, no, like none of you should be drinking
with the cop or like the deputy around.
Right.
But hey, I guess he's cool with it. Mm-hmm. And then I guess thinking about it now, Gail is there. She's going in specifically to plant a camera
totally,
into
yeah,
the
yeah.
house, which I really liked because there's a 30-second delay from what Ray records into going.
Yeah,
because
it has
van.
Like a little antenna mm-hmm. and it's projecting that or it's like
it's
connected to their news van.
Yeah.
Yeah. So they're getting, like you said, the delay. It makes sense that there's a delay, which I liked.
And I was like, no, that's perfect. A, for this day and age. And B, that adds that like sense of if they see something happen on that camera, it's like, oh, no, that's already happened. And mm-hmm. that does come into play.
Such a good like story.
And that's technology, I think, being shitty, but working spectacular mm-hmm. for this movie, especially for a horror scene, horror setting. So she plants the camera and it's right in the living room and they wander off, do their own thing. Sydney fucks off too because she's like, I don't want to be around Gail. And then Stu asks Tatum to go into the garage to get more beer. And she does. And she's got a whole bunch of beers in her arms and the door behind her locks as she's trying to leave. Ghostface appears.
Yeah.
And we get, I think this movie has so many good classic lines, but it's also funny because this is supposed to be a movie doing a play on other horror movies, but
right.
it's established itself in its own thing, if that makes sense, mm-hmm. you know? And she's like, oh, is this the part where I'm supposed to scream and you stab me or whatever? And Ghostface, like, he doesn't say anything. He's
head,
shaking
yes,
his head. Yeah.
yeah. Oh, yeah. Oh, can I play the victim? He shakes his head. Yes.
Yeah.
Okay. Like, oh no,
don't stab me.
Are you gonna like kill me now or whatever? And he shakes his head yes. It's like, ooh, so sinister.
No, please don't kill me, Mr. Ghostface. I want to be in the sequel.
And he won't let her by, and this is when she's finally like, no, let me by. And he pushes her,
pulls out a knife.
Yeah. She's like, she's oh, like, this is some serious business.
And then he just cuts her arm, which
yeah,
is
he
fucked.
Holds it. Yeah, I was like, ooh.
Yeah.
Ow.
She's like, okay, so this is real. That mm-hmm. was a little like, no, I'm a real killer. Like, I'm going to kill you now. And she's like, oh, fuck. Okay.
And they have a bit of a fight. And once again, we just see more of a man in a Ghostface costume just like doing his best.
Mm-hmm.
She's throwing beer bottles at him
oh,
while
yeah,
he's
she,
walking.
Oh, he starts chasing after her and they run by a fridge and she swings the like
yeah,
it's
the top
bottom. So she swings the freezer open and slams it into him. And he literally like flies back onto his back.
yeah.
Like, oh, I was like, nice.
Maybe it's because of the believability that's a person that just like ups at a level for me.
Mm-hmm.
I'm like, yeah, spooky.
Yeah.
If that were hit Jason, it just like bounce back, which I guess mm-hmm. is terrifying in its own way.
You just like burst through it.
I'd be like, cool. And then he bursts through my head. And then, yeah, she's throwing beer bottles at him. I think she hits him in the dick with a beer bottle.
Yeah, in the
like,
fucking
oh.
face, in the dick. He's like, oh, fuck. She's fucking him up pretty
yeah.
good.
Yeah, she's doing well. She can't get out the door because, again, it's locked. And she tries to leave through the garage door. There's like a
yeah,
little
cat she like
door
runs over it. And tries to open it. It and like he doesn't really let her. So she turns around and tries to yeah go through the cat or dog door,
animal door. Yeah,
in the garage, which I've never seen. But that's cool.
I feel like
a
I might
dog
have
door in the garage
back in like the 90s.
Yeah,
I feel like one of my friends in Massachusetts probably had one of those. Maybe.
Yeah. So she kind of struggles. She's trying to like squeeze through there in a panic, and then he hits the garage door and. I'm not saying this is unrealistic, but man, that's a strong garage door. It just like lifts a fucking, because like nowadays,
sure.
there's so many safety features.
Yeah. Well,
like
maybe
you
this
try
is
and
why.
Close it and it's like, and it like doesn't close because they're like, oh, there's a shoe in the way mm-hmm. or like you touch it and it stops.
Whoa,
and all this kind of
no.
stuff. But that some people did get killed apparently by garage doors. But so it lifts her and way more in like gruesome than I remember, or like
same
intense.
Here.
Even if it was just a flash, it shows her head.
Because what would you say? She maybe got like the top part of her chest through.
Yeah, like maybe to up to her ribs, bottom of her ribs.
I guess so, huh? And yeah, she probably slips back a little bit because she's hanging as it's lifting her up.
Yeah.
And then we have kill number four.
Gets her head crushed.
Yeah.
It was like, yikes. I don't remember it showing.
And then I think there's a shot of her body just like hanging there.
Yeah, just dangling from the garage. I was like, damn.
And in one of my favorite bits, you have Ghostface just being like, all right. And then he just leaves out the garage door.
He just turns around and like walks back into the party. It's like, what if someone's in the fucking kitchen?
Yeah.
Or whatever. The door's off. He just like, oh, hey, I was just.
I guarantee you, if nobody sees her out there or anything happening or didn't hear anything, you'd be like, oh, I'm just fucking around.
Like, ah, gotcha.
Because we did see those kids in the high school running around with the Ghostface costumes on. And I think Dewey ends up earlier in the movie, he finds one of the costumes and he's talking to the captain being like, these are sold at every Halloween
store. I was
going to
bring that up.
We're not able to track this.
So yeah, I think that was really cool too.
Yeah. They did a really good job like putting in little details. Yeah. Which is the whole point of the movie. Mm-hmm. So Billy does end up coming by to the party, and Sydney, you keep bringing up great points in this movie. You laughed because you said like Sydney is apologizing to this guy for having like post-traumatic stress.
She literally said, he's like, hey, you know, I'm sorry. I've been selfish. And she's like, no, I'm sorry. I've been so distracted with my post-traumatic stress disorder. It was like, you're apologizing because your mom... she's like, I'm sorry I've been so selfish and I haven't been having sex with you because I've been grieving my mom's murder.
Mm-hmm.
That's so crazy. And I think that's intentional. It's supposed
to be
kind of
too.
Like, and then she's like,
let's do it.
Yeah, she does it in a way. She a little callback to when he's like, we were headed towards an R rating and now we're in like edit for TV or whatever. And she says something like,
oh, I wish more, like life was more like a porno.
Yeah,
I think it's
like,
something like that.
Something. Yeah. Like, why don't we? What? Oh, because he's like, life is a movie. You just can't choose the genre.
I have that written down. I kind of really like that line.
Yeah,
I thought
that
was really cool.
And then she's like, what if we're in a porno or something like that? And I was like, ew,
what is happening?
What a corny line. And then, you know, they bump uglies, as some might say.
As they say it in the 90s.
Yeah. They rub bodies sexually.
Why does that sound worse than bumping uglies?
They get naked. And they can,
ugh, stop it, Jeff.
They have sex.
This is a family-friendly podcast. Fuck.
Cover your ears, Billy.
Okay.
They have sex.
The next scene is Randy. He is in the living room, and he's with like a group of people. And I love that they're just watching Halloween.
Mm-hmm.
And we get the classic rules of all horror movies that he has to educate all these people on. It's also kind of funny because everyone's like, oh, when's Jamie Lee Curtis going to pull out her tits? And he's like, well, that's in, you know, this other movie. And they're like, this isn't this movie.
Yeah, they're like, what the hell?
But we
and he's like, well, you got to she's a virgin. So that's how she survives. And he's like, whoa, wait, you guys don't know about the rules?
Mm-hmm.
And then, stands up and gives the famous.
There are certain rules that one must abide by in order to successfully survive a horror movie.
Let me ask you, Jeff, do you remember
rules.
What the rules are?
Yes, I do.
Rule number one.
Don't have sex.
Correct. How about rule number two?
Sex equals murder.
Mm-hmm.
Rule number two, no drinking, no drugs.
Beautiful.
So it's a expansion on rule number one.
Correct.
It's a sin.
Yep.
Also get murdered.
All right.
And rule number three, the final rule.
Here we go.
If you ever leave a room, don't say, I'll be right back.
Correct. Ding, 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 ding. And right after he says this, Stu says a hilarious line where he's like, hey,
he delivers it so good too.
Yeah. Hey, I'm going to go get some beer. Does anybody want any? And I think it was Randy who's like, oh, me, right?
Yeah. He's like, oh, yeah, I'll take one.
All right. I'll be right back.
I'll be right back. So good.
I already said it, but I'll say it again. Matthew Lillard is so good in this movie.
He kills it.
He's
brilliant. And again, it's like he's not, it's hard to say. I almost want to say he's my favorite character. Fuck it. He's my favorite character. He's obnoxious, but perfectly. Like
even later on, too.
If he wasn't in it, it would be less interesting of a movie.
Yeah, he brings a certain something.
Yeah.
But I'm just like, yeah, if it didn't have it, I'd be like, it's missing that.
Yeah.
We now have Gail and Dewey. They're going off to check out an abandoned car that was reported. And so Gail leaving her cameraman, who we haven't mentioned at all, but he's just sitting in the car watching the camera of, I guess, the kids sitting in the room watching.
Yeah. I mean, that's fitting. Gail treats him like crap through the whole movie. Like,
she does.
Move your fat piece of shit ass.
When it's I say whoa. Get out here fast, I mean not 50 seconds later, you tub of lard.
Yeah, I was like, damn.
I was like, Jesus, woman.
So it makes sense that we're just like, let's just not mention him.
Yeah.
So he's just chilling in the van.
This is when Randy gets a phone call. I'm not sure who calls him or who calls the house, but he gets a phone call where we now learn that the principal has been gutted and strung up on the
football field.
Yeah. The goalposts. And like you were saying, a bunch of kids are just like, oh, fuck yeah. Whoa, let's go check crazy. It out before they take them down.
Yeah. It's like, God damn, that's insane, dude. Even if I hated my principal,
I don't want to see somebody strung up
that
and
would make
gutted.
Me sick.
Yeah. I'd be like, what are you guys doing?
Yeah.
Maybe so they're all take the murderers. Off.
Yeah.
No,
there's
40 take off.
Of them. Yeah, they all take off. And then we see
Randy's the only one that stays behind.
Mm-hmm. We see Gale and
Dewey walk
down
on
the
road,
side of the road
going to this car.
Yeah.
And it's hilarious because these cars are just like fucking booking it down.
Yeah,
this
all
dirt
these
road.
Kids.
Yeah. And what?
Going like 70 miles an hour. And Dewey's like, whoa, slow down. Like freeze or whatever. He's like
he
doing cop
freeze.
Talk to like at these speeding cars that cannot hear him. And like, whoa, and they have to like jump out of the way. It's like, you should have just moved.
Uh-huh.
I mean, also, yeah, I get that he's like, hey, slow down.
They were kind of in the middle of the street.
Drinking and driving,
too.
They were in the middle of the street.
And then there's a fun 90s, just like, oh, we jumped off the road. And oh, I'm Dewey.
We're landing on each other.
Rolled on top of you.
Yeah.
Oh, and they have a kiss.
Yep.
And then Dewey's like,
cute little kiss.
I can't. I'm on duty right now.
Yeah.
That's kind of funny.
Yeah.
No, you know what? I'm going to say Dewey's my favorite character.
Dewey's so good.
Followed right by Matthew Lillard, by Stu.
Stu's my favorite. Dewey's your favorite.
Yep. So
Randy's both of our second favorite.
While the two are having a roll in the grass, that's when Gale notices the car. I guess a roll in the bushes. She notices the car that they were after. And Dewey's like, oh, my God, that is Mr. Prescott's car, Sydney's dad's car.
Uh-oh, didn't make it to that hotel.
Not even close. So they book it back as quickly as they can. We go back with Sydney and Billy. They have finished, as you said, rubbing bodies together, naked.
Rubbing bodies. Body friction. Yadadin, body friction.
Sydney starts to ask Billy a few questions like, hey, who did you call?
Yeah, because she like sees the phone by her bed.
Oh, right.
Which like triggers. She's like, huh.
I didn't realize that. I was wondering like why she would ask him then and there.
So she's okay. Like, your one call when you got arrested. Who did you call?
It's like, my dad. But I saw like, the captain call your dad.
He's like, oh,
he didn't answer.
He didn't answer. So she's like, oh, okay. Yeah. And he's like, you don't think it was still me, do you? And you can tell his tone has shifted now that
100%
he's gotten what he was after. He's a little more hostile. And she's like, no. I just think that would have been really creative of you to try and throw me off.
If you were the one who called me at that house when
you
I
used your one call to try and prove your innocence or whatever.
Yeah.
She's like, no, I just thought, you know, I don't think it was you. I was just thinking that's crazy. And he was like,
what is it going to take for you to believe me?
Yeah. What do I have to do,
babe?
It's all fucking intense about it.
And then Ghostface jumps out and stabs him a bunch of times.
Yeah. Oh, no. Oh, this is what I have to do to prove that I'm not the killer. And it's all, this is telling. He's facing away. So she doesn't see him be stabbed, but he's getting stabbed and turns around.
Yeah.
A la Mission Impossible.
Uh-huh.
A little spoiler there. When he turns around and has his hands on his chest and he looks down, his hands are covered in blood. Ugh, just falls.
Yeah.
And then Ghostface goes after her.
And there's a whole chase scene.
Another scuffle.
She gets chased all throughout the house. I have in my notes, Ghostface gets smacked by a door. I just really remember she slams the door straight in his fucking face. And really made me laugh.
Mm-hmm.
I still can't get over just how good seeing a man chasing somebody with a knife getting like smacked up makes me laugh. And he chases her out to a like out of a window and she's like hanging on and she ends up losing her gripper. Does she gets pushed out?
He like runs up. I think she just like
slips.
He comes up to her with a knife. And so she kind of lets go like, I don't know what else to do. And then falls off the second story.
We both gasped.
Yeah.
Because I didn't remember that.
Yeah, me neither. They got us good part.
Oh, shit.
Like, oh, fuck. I thought she was just going to hit the ground
me
and
too.
Like break something. But she falls into a boat.
Yeah, which I
still
hopefully there's
hurt.
Something soft there as opposed to just like fucking mechanical shit.
Just on the steering wheel. She's dead. But it does. I mean, it is like a good half story up, which is because it's on a trailer and everything. So you're taking at least some of that fall.
True. But if there's like something, nice. You know, hard underneath, you're still going to hurt
yourself.
Yeah,
it could be fatal.
she stops after she gets off the boat, and we both are like, run, woman.
Yeah.
And then the camera pans to it is Tatum hung in the garage door, and we're both just like, all right.
You know, okay, that's fair. You're a little fit. You're a little shooken up.
Not only did he just survive falling out of a window and being chased by a man who stabbed, but now here's your best friend hung up.
Yeah.
You're like,
well, come on, hurry up. It's like, okay, I get it.
I'm a little glad.
Shocked. Okay. Yeah,
I get it.
But then she does, to her credit, boom, right after that, sprints
off. Randy is still inside the house, and we see Ghostface come up behind him. I'm assuming Randy's drunk at this point.
I think he's
drunk.
Super fucked up, is what, because we're like, dude, how did you not hear her screaming upstairs?
Yeah, I guess, yeah, he has to be. Or maybe the TV's really loud, or both.
Right. Because
he is still watching Halloween. Mm-hmm. There is screaming in that movie, and you're fucked up, sure. And so we see Ghostface come up behind him, raising a knife. And then I think the camera pans to Sydney running up to the TV van, right?
Uh-huh.
She goes up and she's like, help me, help me. And the camera guy opens the door and they both look at the TV and they see the scene of Ghostface right behind
Randy. And Randy's
Randy.
Yelling at Jamie Lee Curtis in Halloween.
Turn
like,
around,
turn around, he's
turn
behind
around,
you. Turn
yeah.
around. Another That's great funny. Scene.
And then the camera guy's like, oh, shit, there's a 30-second delay. Let me go help him. And he opens the door. And as soon as he looks at the house, the front door is open. And then I think this is when Ghostface just like appears.
Yeah,
because right
he turns around like, and they both look at the screen to be like, oh God, what happened?
Oh, and you see Ghostface just book it out of there.
Yeah, and then boom, he gets stabbed right in the back.
He gets his throat slit. We have kill number 5.
Yikes.
Cameraman, you only were talked about a little bit. You didn't get any respect, and you got killed in a very unfortunate way.
No respect.
You're the unsung hero of this movie. Not that you did anything, but respect to you, sir. My next note just said, Sid runs. Yeah, I guess she books it. Dewey shows up to the house. Oh, I really like the scene because he enters the house and the movie is still playing Halloween. And so it's like the soundtrack from Halloween while
Dewey
is slowly going through the house. I was like, ooh, this is great.
And it like, yeah, the soundtrack from the movie lines up perfectly with what Dewey's doing.
Yeah. We cut back to Gail, who gets into the truck because she sees blood on the ground, I think is what it is. And she's like, oh God, something terrible
happening.
Oh, right.
Because she's like, dude, where are you? I forget his name. Sorry,
cameraman.
Yeah. And then she looks down and there's blood. So she's like, holy shit. And gets in the camera van and is like,
she's about to take off. And then Randy shows up. And I loved it because she just took like, she had something in her hand and she just smashes Randy in the face a few times.
Yeah, she's
it.
Like, fuck you.
He's like, help. Boom, 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 boom.
She's like, I'm not about to fuck around with this. I'm out of here.
Which, you know, that's fair.
Totally.
She's
it's like, you could
exactly,
be the killer.
Exactly. As she starts driving, the cameraman's body just like falls because it's on top of the of
oh yeah,
the, van.
The window's covered in blood. So yeah. She used the windshield wipers and she's like freaking out. Yeah. And then
the body just slides down.
Just wide eyed, staring straight at her.
Is that what causes her to crash the car? Or does Ghostface
Sydney
jump out
comes
at her?
Running out. And it's like, oh, help me, help me, or whatever. And
she's
then she
driving
swerves.
Away. Yeah.
And then like goes over the edge of the thing down a hill and like slams into a tree.
I'm still vague on this movie, but I would have thought like, I thought maybe she was going to get hit, Sydney.
Mm-hmm.
But I think maybe I was thinking about like Scary Movie.
Right, probably.
Honestly, yeah. Scary Movie does a great job of like capturing this movie in a spoof way.
Uh-huh.
I think that movie
was
great.
When the movies were good, the scary movies were good.
Yeah. Number 1 and 2.
Yep.
Well, Gail crashes the car and we just assume that she's dead. Sydney heads back to the house and that's when the door opens and Dewey's like, Sid. And then he falls down and you see there's like a knife in his back.
Oh, yeah. And then
Ghostface
emerges.
Appears, and he takes the knife out of Dewey's back. And there's more just chasing around. Sydney's in a car. There's a little bit of a fight in there.
A little bit of like her locking the doors and rolling up the windows and the like hatchback opens and he comes in there and the whole like cat and mouse again.
She gets back into the or she's running up to the house. And that's when Stu and Randy both kind of like run up to her and they're yelling back and forth. He's like, he's the killer. No, don't trust him. And she's just slowly backing up and she just locks them both.
She's like,
out.
Fuck you both. And shuts the door and locks it. And we're both like, all right.
Yeah.
A little cold-blooded, but honestly, smart move.
For her. Unfortunately, if one of them out there is the killer, you know, at least I'm safe.
Yeah.
And, well, turns out Billy is not as dead as we thought.
Comes stumbling out of the room and rolls down the stairs.
Yeah, like, I even said out loud, that's commitment. Because he's faking.
Yeah.
We're going to learn
Which
in just
knew.
A second. Yeah.
Yeah.
And, like, he could have just, like, you know, easily just slid down the banister a little bit. Or, like, you know,
like,
his weight.
Oh, just limped. But nope, he's fully selling it. Yeah. And then he goes up.
Sydney
falls
has a
down.
Gun. She takes Dewey's gun.
That's right.
Right before she goes in the house.
Yeah.
And so Billy asks for the gun and she gives it to him.
He's like, it's okay. It's okay. And he's, like, still acting. And hey, just give me the gun. Like, let's open the door and let in, you know, one of them.
I think he's just like, let's, you know, I got this. And Stu has disappeared and it's Randy. And Randy comes inside and Billy says, we all go a little mad sometimes. Line from Psycho.
We all go a little mad sometimes.
Anthony Perkins, Psycho.
And then boom, shoots him in the shoulder.
Yeah.
Randy goes down.
His body goes flying backwards too. I was like, yeah. Shit.
It's like, fuck.
And then this is when Stu...
It's like, okay, so clearly he's the killer.
Yeah, this is when Billy reveals, we have a big plot here. It's both me and Stu.
Yeah, because Sydney turns to run and Stu comes from out from around the corner in the kitchen mm-hmm. and stops her. And then they're both kind of like, surprise. It's us. Stu pulls out the voice changer and he's like, what's your favorite scary movie or whatever? He says something and then tosses it to Billy and then Billy does it.
And they start to tell her that Cotton was framed. I have that in a question mark because I think that's what they
said.
Yeah,
I think so. Around that time.
So they're the ones
in the
that
kitchen.
Killed.
Because at some point they corner in the kitchen and basically they're
it's right out. Yeah, they push her into the kitchen and they're like, hey, here's your dad too. We have him tied up. And
oh, right. Her dad's still alive.
And this is when Billy, he's like, you know, Sydney, your mother's a slut. Apparently, like, Billy's dad hooked up with Sydney's mom. And that caused Billy's mom to leave them. And I guess that's it.
He's like, how's that for a motive? And part of me thinks that that's not true. And he's kind of like, I mean, that's true. But I think he's kind of like, I'm picking a motive. I think they're kind of like crazy.
He even kind of goes like, you know, abandonment can cause someone to go insane or something like that.
Yeah, he's like playing into it a little bit.
Yeah, he's really just building off of that.
And then that's around the time when he's like, we're going to frame your dad. And she's like, you'll never get away with it. And he's like, well, it worked with Cotton.
Yeah.
And she was like, oh, fuck, you did frame Cotton. That's crazy.
Yeah. So their plan now is to, I guess, murder Sydney.
Everybody.
Kill the dad. And they're going to stab each other.
Yeah. Just a little bit.
Non-vital areas. And it's funny, too, because now Stu is like, all right, just do it. Do it. And Billy stabs him. He's like, oh, shit.
He's like, oh, fuck. And he stabs him a bunch more times.
He stabs Billy once. And then Billy's like, give me the knife. We're going to keep doing this. And he stabs Billy stabs Stu a whole bunch more. And then
he's
Billy
like,
only gets stabbed that one
man.
Time. Yeah. He's like, oh, I think I'm good. Mm. And so, yeah, Stu is slowly bleeding out.
They give the dad, they put the like voice changer and the cell phone in his pocket to be like, all right, he's going to be framed as the killer.
Stu goes to get the gun, but it's gone now.
Mm-hmm.
Were they going to shoot Sydney?
No, I think it was just to frame.
Just more
evidence.
Just
get the gun
okay.
so that we can frame everyone or whatever, I think. And then they were going to stab Sydney.
Right. Gun's gone. Guess who has it?
Gail.
I didn't die when I hit a tree and my van really fast weathers.
Yeah, time to die, bitches.
Unfortunately, she is a little shaky and it turns out she had the safety on. So Billy just kicks her in the chest.
Just drop kicks her out the front door into a column.
Where she hits her head and she just rolls perfectly right onto Dewey.
Yeah, and they're together. And they even go, aw.
Yeah, I think I have it in my notes too.
Yeah.
Well, this gives Sydney enough time to grab her dad or put him somewhere.
Because they're about to shoot Gail.
Yeah. Oh, yeah, yeah, yeah.
And then
Stu's like, hey. Stu is very delirious at this point, too.
Yeah, yeah. He's losing a lot of blood.
A lot of blood. He says that as well. Sydney is now gone. The dad is somewhere else. And Sydney calls them on the phone, and she's using
the
ghost face voice now. Yeah, and I was like, ooh, that's fucking cool.
Do you like scary movies? He's like, you bitch. Come back here, bitch.
Billy's upset, so he's just like tearing shit up.
Mm-hmm.
Sydney ends up jumping out at him from a closet and using a fucking umbrella, stabs him like two times in the chest.
Which is like the dull tip of an umbrella. That was,
it's gross.
He goes down.
He does, but he's not out yet. Also, Stu is still up. Here's a scene that I heard something about. So when Billy is like talking to Sydney on the phone and he's getting upset, he ends up throwing the phone at Matthew Lillard. And I read somewhere that like that was like that actually happened.
It looks like he's trying to throw it like at the, you know, it's like the headset, throwing it at the whatever you call where you hang it up.
Yeah.
But he misses and hit
Matthew Lillard
in the back of the head.
And he's like, you hit me with the phone, you dick, or something like that. Yeah. I read somewhere that that actually happened. So
yeah,
that's maybe one
of my favorite scenes. It is one of my favorite scenes.
Phone, well, again, speaking of Stu ends up attacking Sydney and they get into a little bit of a fight. Also, Sydney has had time to put on the whole Ghostface costume. I love that commitment to the bit.
Me too.
when she stabs Billy, she's wearing the ghost face thing and has the voice modulator. Yeah. I was like, all right, okay.
She's like, I'm committing.
Yeah, respect you, Sid.
But then, yeah, her and Stu go rolling around in the living room over a couch.
And right in front of a TV where Sydney gets up and drops the TV straight on Stu's head.
Yeah. Right after Stu says something like, I've always had a thing for you or something like that. And then she drops a TV on him and he gets electrocuted.
And you said you were glad that they didn't have her say a one-liner.
Yeah, like, well, what was it? What did you say?
It's the line from Nightmare on Elm Street 3. Welcome to primetime, bitch. I don't know if that counts as a kill. I guess in the sense of this movie, we'll call it a kill. We'll call that kill number.
It counts as in this movie. You always have to go movie by movie.
True. All right. We'll call that kill number 6 then.
The TV kill.
After that, Billy attacks her again. They fight around. He gets on top of her and she ends up putting her fingers into the hole that she stabbed him with the umbrella. And that causes him to be like, fuck. And he does have a knife in his hand and he's about to stab her. And then
boom,
Gail is back again with a gun and much more confident this time.
Guess who's back? Back again.
Gail Weathers.
Tell a friend.
And Billy falls back. I think she gets him like in the chest or the shoulder or something. Mm-hmm. And he goes down. Also, Randy is still alive. Thank God.
Yeah, he comes stumbling around. And then Billy's lying there, supposedly lifeless. And she goes, I remember the safety that time, you bastard.
I was trying to remember what the line was.
Yeah.
And then I think Randy says, this is the bit where you think that the main villain is dead, but he's still alive. And then Billy does like a little jump up too. And then Sydney now has the gun and she shoots him
point blank
right in the head,
in the forehead,
right between the eyes. We have kill number 7. Billy Loomis is dead. And then also Randy has a line that says, I'm so happy to be a virgin. And that's how he survived. He followed the rules there.
That's right.
And well, with Billy dead, the police finally arrive. Gail is doing a report and the camera zooms out from the house.
We see the sunset.
The dad is okay.
The dad's okay. He's alive.
Yeah. And I believe that is the end of our movie. We have Scream, original Scream.
1996. The glory years.
Okay, Jeff, let's move into our final thoughts on this movie. Now, we are running a little short on time, so we got to kind of speed through this. So let's just jump into it. Jeff, let me ask you the questions that I always ask you at the end of the movie.
Mm-hmm.
I think I may know the answers to these already, but I have to ask. Do you like this movie?
Yeah, I do. I like this movie. Yeah. I'm a fan.
You are someone who has actually gotten me like more into this movie. It's nice kind of seeing your excitement for a horror movie because I feel
rare.
That never really happens.
Yeah.
Like with James with Strays, now you with this. Well, I mean, I don't know how, you know, how much James actually likes Strays.
James' favorite movie, Strays, let it be known.
But yeah, I think this is a really good movie. And this goes back to what we have mentioned in previous episodes where there is a type of horror like for everybody that I think you can find.
Totally.
Next question.
Okay.
Is this a movie you will watch again?
Of course. I feel like I try to watch this movie every year.
Mm-hmm.
At least the first one. In general, I think we've only done it once, but I like doing every Halloween we do, watch all the Scream movies and carve pumpkins. It's just getting harder and harder the more they keep making. So
the more they keep making. And then as we get older from, you know, when we turn 23 next year.
Yeah, when I turn 18.
Getting everybody together.
Oh, and yeah, that's the hardest part.
I like that you can use this, I guess, kind of as an excuse to be like, hey, let's all just get together and have some fun and watch some dumb, fun horror movies, you know?
Yeah, and this is the perfect horror movie to watch with your friends, I think, because it's all about friends and like anyone can be the killer and super cheeky and fun and, you know, but also gruesome. And yeah,
and you can look over at either me or James or whoever you're watching this movie with as we're carving a pumpkin and be like, is this person going to murder me?
Yeah, watch where you put that carving knife, bud. Okay.
I don't know if I told you this, but I never actually saw this full movie until, like in its entirety, until I watched it with you and everyone when we were in Long Beach.
Yeah, I didn't realize that until you just mentioned that recently.
Yeah, I came in, my sister had rented this movie back, you know, when video stores were a thing. And I came in at the very end when I think Stu and Billy had revealed their whole plan. And I just remember seeing a bunch of blood and somebody had a gun and they're explaining things. I'm like, this is weird. So I kind of owe my sister being my Scream introduction there.
Yeah, props.
Yeah, thank you, Rachel. Appreciate it. I've really come around to just really liking this movie. It's a lot of fun. I have a great new appreciation for it.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I feel like even I don't know how to explain it, but I convinced myself to get really into this movie. At first, it was like, yeah, I'll put Scream on, like Halloween, whatever. And then I kept doing it. And every year it was like, oh, we should put on some Halloween movies. And I always just would like, maybe I'll put Scream on. And then turns out, yeah, I really like it for some reason.
Final question for you.
Okay.
Is this a movie you will show someone else?
Yeah, I'll show Scream to as many people as I can.
Get that name out there. You know, everybody knows it.
Yeah, especially the first one, like we just talked about. It's not super, like there's some violence in it, but I wouldn't call it gore. It's more like violence. It's like an action movie.
Yeah, it's very tame in comparison to a lot of movies nowadays. But
I mean, even the newer Scream movies, you know, it's a lot tamer than those.
But like we talked about, that first kill is upsetting in that way.
Psychological.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So layers here.
Yeah. So, hey, if you haven't watched Scream, I mean, ideally you have at this point, if you're this far into the podcast, but if you haven't, go watch it.
Yeah. Even if you were just listening to this podcast, just to have someone to listen to, I definitely say that this is a movie worth watching.
Totally.
I guess, well, let's just jump into the rating, Jeff, before we get to our favorite kill. Do you want to come up with the rating for this one?
It would be my honor. Okay, Steve, out of 96 Ghostface masks. Out of 96 Ghostface masks, how many Ghostface masks would you give this film?
I am going to give this a solid 9. You said 96?
96, yeah, 1996.
Oh, DeDoy, that makes so much sense. I was like, but 196.
I thought 1,996 masks would be too much.
That's a lot of masks.
So I went with 96, which is way, you know, way easier to calculate.
You've really brought it back there.
You gotta do the conversion.
What a save.
In your head.
I'm going to give this a 90 out of 96 masks.
Nice.
Yeah, 90 because that's the year that I was born. And because there's a lot to like about this movie. There are some dumb things, but this is totally a very fun movie.
Yeah.
And I have such a big appreciation. I keep saying that. I have a big appreciation for it now, just the way it references all of these older horror movies.
Well, and the more you watch it, there's so many little details and little like hints and twists and like self-referencing things. And I don't know. It's really fun. And the fact that we're both, you know, 90s kids, that helps.
Yeah.
Because it's like just seeing the technology of the day and stuff.
It's nostalgic in its own way.
Right.
Yeah. Well, Jeff, let me turn that question right back around on you.
Okay.
Out of 96 Ghostface masks, how many Ghostface masks would you give this movie?
Ooh, out of 96, I would give it 94.
Wow.
Can't give it that perfect score. It's too high up there. I'll give it 96.
Oh, I was really thinking you were going to. You have a
perfect score. It's because I chose such a high number.
Oh, God, can you hit the button?
We don't have an applause anymore, but I'll hit.
Got rid. Oh, fuck, we need to get rid
I'll
of the
hit
applause.
This one. Yay, 96. 96, perfect score.
Yeah, this, I thought you were going to say that off the bat. This just seems like your horror movie. You know,
totally.
Some movies you'll look at people and be like, I associate this movie with you. Scream, I associate with you.
Thanks.
Yeah. And, well, Jeff, did you know that in the year 1996, a certain sci-fi show was on the air?
No way. Which one?
Well, have you ever heard of a little show called Star Trek, possibly Voyager?
I was going to say, which Star Trek?
Hit it.
Janeway and her crew got lost in the Delta Quadrant and they couldn't find their way back. They met she was a Borg. Then she got rid of her Borg stuff and had blonde hair.
Star Trek.
Voyager edition.
Oh, that was beautiful, man.
Yeah, thanks.
Wow, yeah. And
I've been practicing that.
You didn't think we were going to get a Star Trek a Star Trek reference.
Uh-oh. We're melting down over here.
It's been a long.
You're just weak in the knees from my 7 of 9 song.
Ooh, yeah, getting a little warm.
Ooh.
Oh, baby.
Anyway.
Well, that is our Star Trek reference of the episode. Moving right along. Jeff, what was your favorite kill of this movie?
Oof, that's hard.
There were some really good ones.
There's some really good ones. They're all there's like iconic ones too.
Mm-hmm.
I'm gonna go with, I forget her name in the movie, but Drew Barrymore's death in the beginning.
Casey.
For so many reasons. I mean, classic.
Mm-hmm.
Also, the story behind it, where she's like, the twist and people didn't know, was super cool. Very tragic and like hard to watch, where she's like, oh, my parents are so close, but so far. And then she gets killed. Yeah, I guess that's it. Yeah, that one's good.
Really good.
Yeah. What about you?
Well, I was actually going to go with Casey's death.
Oh, interesting. I swiped it out from under you.
You did. You. I'm really glad I hit the right button. I was going to say Casey, but I feel like I got to choose something different since you said that already.
I was on the fence between Casey and Stu, mm-hmm, with the TV death.
Well, let me pick up some slack here then. I'm going to say
the
cameraman.
Oh!
Because everyone hated him and he was done so dirty.
Yeah.
And even his death was a bummer, but I just want to give him some credit because not enough credit was given to him.
Also, you did mention
Mean Gail was
the like 30 second delay. That was part of his death, I would mm-hmm say. And that was really cool. And you did mention like what a cool,
it's a bit of like a trick to get him out
trick
there.
That was. Yeah. Where he's like, huh? And he turns around to watch the TV and then gets stabbed in the back because of it.
It's he gets his throat slit.
Oh, that's right.
Yeah.
I keep thinking in the back, but it's because Ghostface reaches around.
Yeah.
You know, so, gives him a little tug and then slits his throat.
Props to you, cameraman. Right?
Anyway, good choice.
Let's move into everyone's favorite segment of the show.
Tops and bottoms.
Like it or hate it. One-star review and 1 5-star review of this movie.
I'm going to go ahead and start out with a 5-star review.
Let's start off
because,
high.
Because, you know, we both rated this movie really high. It's a mm-hmm classic. We're going to go to Letterboxd for this review from a user named Erlyn. Gives it 5 stars. And she says, and just really quick, I apologize, Erlyn. I'm going to do a voice for you. Maybe this is what you sound like. Mm. She says, I literally love Scream so much. It's literally about horror fans. And the movie was just very well made. Literally will always be one of my favorite movies. Erlyn, I literally agree with you.
I literally agree as well.
Yeah.
Wow.
And Steve, a 1-star review is coming our way.
It certainly is. My review is also from Letterboxd, from user
Erlyn. Huh. Just kidding.
Jonas Bird. 1 star. Let's ghost face it.
No. Good one.
This movie is extremely stupid. It was stupid when I saw it being 11. It is still stupid now. Especially dumb is A Mask, which was so ridiculous that Scary Movie didn't even have to change it a bit. But worst of all, this film is not a bit scary. Why? Because you don't care about anyone. Why? Because everyone is stupid.
This review is written by a 12-year-old. He's like, back when I first watched it when I was 11, this movie was stupid. Everyone's stupid duty heads.
A year ago.
Yeah.
Well, Jonas BR, I have to agree with you. Why? Because you're stupid.
Yeah, Jonas. What does your name stand for? Jonas Boner? Rubber.
Got him.
Get it?
Got him really good.
Stupid idiot. That was my favorite death, was roasting Jonas so hard.
Wrecked.
Nice.
Well, we got to keep this pumping along here. I think that wraps up this week's episode, right, Jeff? Anything else you want to say about any final thoughts on this movie? I mean, we've already said it. This movie's great.
Yeah.
Definitely give it a watch. I don't really remember Screams 2, 3, and I don't know if I ever saw Scream 4, to be honest, but I definitely plan on giving Scream 5 a rewatch before we do the newest Scream coming up.
Yeah.
So I'm looking forward to that. So, Jeff, wrap us on up, cowboy. Bring us
Yeehaw!
Home. Giddy up.
You know, go ahead and follow us on Instagram, like always, at Herwood's House of Horror. Brand new spanking merch on herwoodshouseofhorror.com. We have a new t-shirt with the new logo. We still have the classic logo available, as well as some new colors of the Jeff Y t-shirt.
Love that name.
And a brand new product, a little coaster.
It's beautiful.
Little cutie coaster.
I plan on getting one myself.
Your beverages on. I got one already. As well as you should rate us on the Spotify mobile app, on Apple's podcast platform, a bunch of other places.
Pretty much us. Anywhere podcasts.
Yeah, just anywhere.
Podbean. Google Play, maybe.
Yeah, superpods.org.
Is that a real thing?
Mm.
Could be.
But we're probably on there. If you review us, we'll read your review on air.
With those 5 stars, baby.
Yeah.
Because it really does help out the podcast.
Yeah.
You can follow Jeff at Art of Jefferson on Instagram as well. You can find more of his fantastic artwork. You have your Etsy store.
cultclubprintco.etsy.com, or you can go to Instagram to find the Ugly Cowboy at Ugly Cowboy Co. That's it.
I think that does it for us today. Thank you, everyone, so much for listening. We always appreciate it. Next week, we will be doing, we'll jump into the new movies. We're jumping into Scream 6. I know I'm very excited for this one. Jeff, you are too.
Oh, yeah. So if you haven't, if you have the time, just go out, you know, stream Screams 1 through 5.
Mm-hmm.
Just get ready. Go see Scream 6 in theaters. And then you can listen to us talk about Scream 6 on Monday.
Mm-hmm. A lot of Scream stuff for you.
Yeah.
Scream. Funny. Thank you again, everyone, for listening. And Jeff.
Yes.
As we say at the end of every episode of Horace's House, Fora.
What's your favorite scary movie?